Blog Talk Radio.
Tis the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His goodness. He is holy. He is high. He is set apart. So we sing to Him.
To each other as brothers, to grow in brotherhood, to be able to connect,
to be able to commit to encourage my brother, to be able to commit to stay in my brother's life, to encourage him, to strengthen him, that the needs of our brother becomes a priority of our life. To be in a brother relationship that is honest and transparent, we need men that are willing to just sow into each other. We have to get to that place, men, where we're sowing into another man's life, in that small circle, in the circle of influence. So, Father, we say right now, God, that men would drop the barriers, drop the masquerade, that there'd be transparency and honesty, God. They'd be diligently seeking and pursuing friendships and brotherhood to connect with one another, to encourage one another, so that no man is left behind, God. So, Father, I ask you to stir up the spirit in the hearts of men. Stir up their hearts. Let them think about those brothers, though, God, who just might need a friend to be encouraged, to be have someone to pray with and to pray for them, oh God. So, Father, we ask today, just as we just came out of a celebration of men's fellowships and Father's Day, but let us not forget, every day is a challenge. Every day is a new opportunity. Every day is a new challenge. But yet, you are still God. So, Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for the friendships. We thank you for what you're about to do in the lives of men as we connect to one another, as we trust one another, as we build those relationships that will encourage us and help us grow in Christ and help us to stand together and serve, because we know we can do more together than we can separately, and we know we have more in common than we are different. So, Father, I ask that you touch the lives of husbands, fathers, and sons today. I thank you for the healing of relationship. I thank you for reconciliation of relationships. And God, let us just learn to forgive and to draw closer to one another. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, again, brothers, we're going to be talking about getting outside the four walls. Praise the Lord. Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir? Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening to you, my friend. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Glad to hear your voice, brother. I thank you for taking time and being part of our program today. And hey, you came up with the topic, so I'm gonna defer to you right now, and you can get us started. And what we're talking about today is about getting outside the four walls. So what do you say, sir?
Amen, amen. Well, you know, as you said, as you mentioned in the opening and in the prayer, you know, it's time that we step out. You know, this is a time, a season change. We have the opportunity to go outside. We're not bundled up in our coats, rushing to the car, rushing back into the house to avoid the weather. We're taking a slower step to get outside. But so often we don't take the time to reach out and just do what God has called us to do, to share truly the good news, the gospel, to share who Christ is, to share what salvation is. You know, we just... we have such an opportunity, and we have a call upon our lives. But and through the pandemic and through all that's been going on, we're caught up, and it seems like we're not stepping outside of those four walls. And sometimes I don't mean the four walls of being the church building, but the four walls, the walls that we built up around ourselves in trying to protect ourselves from the pandemic, from, you know, COVID, and trying in the social distancing. We've got to the place where we don't even talk to people anymore. I know this city of Baltimore is one where it's almost like you're looked at crazy when you speak to someone and say hi. They're almost shocked that you're speaking to them because of the atmosphere, because of the way it is. But it's time that we step out and do something different and steal the city back, take the city back from the enemy, take our neighborhoods back from the enemy, and show who we really are, show that we're called to represent God, that we're called to represent God in the midst of this dark world. We as men, just as you said, my brother, we have a calling upon our lives to be role models, to be fathers, to be those in the front line that would do something different. And if we're quiet, how can we ask someone else to grow and to change and to reach out and to share what God has already done for us? You know, we have a testimony in our lives, but sometimes it's crazy. I think, you know, sometimes our next door neighbor doesn't even realize that we go to church until they see us leave on a Sunday morning in a suit. So now that we're not leaving out the house, what do they know about us going to church? What do they know about our relationship with God? Does something that we do, do we reflect who God is in our life when we step outside? Do we look like, do we really live out what God called us? God created us to stand in his image. Do we reflect the image? Are we doing what we're called to be? And I just, you know, it was on my heart to share this with you and, you know, to have this discussion. Two scriptures I want to jump into, but before we go into the scripture, I just wanted to ask your opinion. How do you think, what do you feel about the atmosphere, the way that we interact? Like, what more can we do to get outside, to be different, to share, to just to just grow as men? What can we do different before we jump into these scriptures?
Amen, brother. Well, you know, let me say it like this, brothers, because every man that's on the line is listening. They've got the link here. You need to understand that, you know, I think it's about us understanding that this is the purpose of the church. I think we lose the focus of why Jesus died and why his church and what his church is supposed to do, supposed to be doing, you know, and we gotten to the point where we, like you said, the four walls, everything is focused on inside, because at some point, you know, I think Peter wrote about it, we're still dealing with milk when we should be having meat. And meat means knowing what you believe, why you believe it, and then be able to tell someone else. Because evangelism is not a title. It's not a. It's part of who we are as the body of believers. If we look at Scripture, if we look what happened in the Book of Acts, that they went. The church went out. The church served. The church showed the glory of God. Told people. Spread the gospel. You know. So I think about it sometimes. Just imagine. If for your church, whatever, look at the level of evangelism your church is doing, and what if the church in Acts never left Jerusalem, never went out? If the churches, the saints who were in Colossae and Ephesus, if they just stayed in their homes, if they just stayed clustered, what would happen? Where would the gospel be today? You know, so we have to look at it as how God looks at it and what we're called to be. We can't be salt and light if we just inside the building. We can't be light if we're bottled up. I think the scripture talks about if we have a lamp and you put it under the bed, it's not being the light. So I think we have to take some of these scriptures and start to apply them and be the light and be the salt. And we can't do that. I mean, there's a time, it's something I learned a long time ago when I was reading. We want to cluster, and that's a dangerous part of a church. Because, again, if we're honest and we look around, look to the left and look to the right, how do we all end up coming to church? Because someone shared the gospel with us. So a church that doesn't evangelize is a church that's going to die. And I also think some of it, I mean, we're going to get in a little trouble here because, this is what I do. But is leadership teaching people that evangelism is part of what they're called to do and be? Everybody wants to do everything else, but what about sharing your faith, going out, reaching the lost? Because at some point, all the knowledge you get, if you don't apply it, use it, share it, and then live a life obedient to the scripture, we're going to touch on some of that today, tonight, in this episode about what is God has called us to do with what we have. Amen? So that's why I think it is. It's multifaceted. So we're going to just take our time here, and hopefully we encourage someone and strengthen them. But we are to go out and share the gospel. I think that should be our primary thing when we come to the body of Christ. What do you say, sir?
Amen. Amen. And exactly what you said jumps into both the scriptures that I wanted to share that kind of led me into this position or to this discussion and wanting to speak on this topic. If we go 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is of it. So we are the body of Christ. That's our calling. We are the church. We are the body built up of multiple parts. Everybody is an intricate part. The problem that we have today is that as the body of Christ, we're not reaching out to those outside of the congregation. Like you said, what if they never went outside Jerusalem? What if they never shared the gospel? Where will we be today? And just like you said, a church that isn't evangelizing, people that aren't evangelizing and aren't sharing, we're dying. You know, we're called to produce fruit. How can you produce fruit if you don't plant seeds? If you don't step outside and do something different than what's caught up right inside? How do you grow? How do you expect your ministry to grow? How do you expect the church to grow? How do you expect people to grow? It's not about numbers. It's not about, bringing a whole bunch of numbers into the building so you can have tithes and offerings. It's about reaching out so that you can build a body of people together, like-minded Christians that want to draw together to serve God, that are living up to a call, living up to a mission. There's a purpose on our life. But if you don't help someone to see that there's a purpose in their life, if you don't talk to someone about salvation, if they never find out their purpose, how can they live up to it? I mean, we live in a lost world, truly a lost world. If we are gathered together, let's just say you and me, we're in the same church. We go to church on Sunday. We hear this awesome word. When we leave out, we don't talk about anything. We don't share anything. We don't share anything that we be any of the meat that we're being fed. We don't share that sustenance to help somebody else grow. We don't just say anything. We don't do anything. As a matter of fact, we don't even act as though we went to church, that we got something, that we believe in Christ. Everything about us just reflects the world because we're so caught up in just staying inside the four walls. Like, we have this mask on, and yeah, we might start some trouble here, Deke, but so many of us have a mask on that we're only Christians on Sunday. I mean, it hurts, but I've literally heard the conversation, someone in church that's snotting and crying and at the Pope, at the altar, you know, asking for prayer, and then before you know, they're speaking in tongues, and none of that's wrong. But then 5 minutes later, when after the benediction, you hear them in the church parking lot cussing somebody else. How is that a representation of God? How is that reaching outside the body to show something different? You're masked up inside the body to act like you got it all together, to act like you're living for God. And then outside, when you're in the world, when you're outside those four walls, you do nothing that represents God. What do you say, sir?
Oh, man, bro, we went all the way. But, well, you know what? I'm going to say this. Let me say this. It's something to say. Let me start with this. Just because you go to church don't mean you're going to heaven. How about that? You know, I think it's a lot. I think it's twofold. First of all, as men of God, as believers, we should want to be obedient to what the Word says, what the Word teaches. And the word teaches about us going out and evangelizing and speaking to and just sharing the gospel and sharing our lives and sharing others. There's so much to be said, and every man, I believe, has to look in the mirror and see how are you allowing God to use you for His glory? How are you honoring Christ and the sacrifice He made in your life, that you are now a believer, that you are saved from the wrath of God, you're saved from eternal punishment? So how are you living to give Him glory for what He has done for you? I think that's what we forget. We get in church, we get into the habits, and we forget the gospel and what the gospel meant and what price was paid for our salvation, that we would not want to tell someone else, that we don't want to be obedient to God's word. There's so many things Jesus has given us as commandments. You know, everybody thinks of commandments. When you say the word commandments, everybody jumps back to the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments and Deuteronomy and the law, and everybody says, well, we're not under the law. But Jesus Christ gave us instructions. He gave us commandments out of His own mouth and out of the New Testament, who we should be as the church. So there is a pattern for who we are as a New Testament church, the things we ought to do. He taught it, and it's throughout Scripture. I mean, there's some Scripture I want to touch on. We're going to touch on as we go through, but we have to understand we were given instructions. And even if we look at what Paul wrote to the churches, he wrote all his letters was to encourage and correct the church to continue to be the church. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot to it, but again, the gospel and evangelism and ministering to folks, ministering to the hurting. There's so much hurt, pain out here. If we, again, I'm going to come to you because I don't want to go all the way, but, you know, we have to understand, if we have a hope in eternity, why would we want to share that hope with someone else? Because we know what the Bible says for what's going to happen to the non-believer. So I don't understand. We hate people that much. We don't want to get, at least tell them, so they at least they have the knowledge to choose, or we never know how God's going to use the words and the seeds that we plant in the lives of people. What do you say, sir?
Amen. I love what you said, you know, of course, and what you said, Paul wrote to the church to instruct as well as correct. And, you know, there's some things that we just have to be transparent about that we aren't doing and that we do. And, you know, one of the things that I'm speaking for myself, just being transparent, I know that in some places, in some times, when I know I've had the opportunity to share, I bound up or backed away because I judged that the person wasn't going to receive. And, you know, that's something we have to recognize. You know, where I was in 1 Corinthians, it talks about we're all being part of the body. And I was reading a little further, you know, I'd shared this scripture with you and you asked me to expound for this discussion. And I was reading a little further up and, you know, in verse 12 and going on through verse 15, it talks about the parts of the body. And I realized, you know, we have discredited so many parts of the body in our own judgment. Like literally we have called somebody that said they don't fit. They don't fit the body, so we're no longer concerned about their goals or concerned about working, about them fixing, about being fixed or being corrected or being straightened out. Like it's almost to say if your arm is broken, are you going to cut it off or are you going to put a cast on it? What are you going to do? It's still usable. Just because it's broken doesn't mean that it's dead. Doesn't mean that it's of no use anymore. You know, we've got to the place where for lack of a term, we've amputated somebody from the body simply because they don't match what we think they should be. They don't look like the one we want to talk to. They don't look like the person that's easy for us to evangelize to. But nobody said this walk was easy. Nobody said sharing and being transparent was going to be an easy thing to do. But if we stand in a place to open our hearts and recognize that every person, Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, that's what the word says in verse 13, for 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for we are all baptized by one spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. We were all given to receive of the Holy Spirit that we would grow. We were all, everybody, doesn't matter how they look, whether homeless, whether they have money in their pocket, whether they have whatever the situation, whether black, white, whatever the situation, whoever they are, they're a part of the body of Christ. But we act as though, because we put our own judgment on a person, that they're not deserving, that they're not a part of the body that we're a part of. Like, who delineated that that there's this separation? Like, I never understood why there's such a separation in the church. But we all call and we all say we believe in God. We believe in Christ. We believe in what the Bible says, but yet we live in such separation. I know I'm going to get in trouble. Back to you, sir.
No, because we have to examine ourselves, brother, and this is one of the things that we have to talk about. I mean, what you're saying is true. And we forget, I mean, sometimes we've been saved so long, or we've been in the church structure, in tradition, and just coming, we forget. I think we get numb to it. We take it for granted. We take salvation for granted. We take our renewed lives. We take our born again lives for granted. We take that we are a new creature. We wasn't who we used to be, you know. And we've been saved so long, we forget what it was like and the struggles we had. And then we forget, you know, things start to, you know, our lives turn, and we forget. And then we also, you know, there's even in the body. Let me say this too, because anybody who's been saved for a while understands that we still have things we have to deal with in the body of Christ as believers, but yet, you know, we deal with those things differently. So I think we are focused on ourselves a lot, and we forget what the call is to be, even in the midst. And then again, you know, to be truthfully honest and transparent, that we fill our lives with a lot of other things. We're distracted by a lot of the culture, a lot of the worldly things, from all the way from TV to sports to whatever other thing we want to do. We're worrying about making money, saving money. We think we're blessed because we got money in the bank now, and we ain't spending our money like we used to. And then, but we're forgetting who we are and who we're supposed to be. You know, we check in, we get to the point in our walk that we're checking boxes. I went to church, I went to Bible study, I'm good, I paid tithes, I'm not going to go with tithes, that's a whole nother show. But I've given an offering, I'm good, you know, and that's it. But there's so much that, again, there's so much that Jesus called us to be as a church, the things that he spoke about. You know, it's outreach. Some of it is really outreach. And when we talk about reaching out to the people, I'm going to jump to a scripture because it just came to me. I'm going to Matthew 25.
Okay.
Matthew 25, it talks about, I think it was verse 37. And the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king answered them, truly I say to you, as you did to the ones, to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me. What happened to that scripture? When the last time you heard a sermon, you heard that preached? Because that should prick all of our hearts. That right there, bruh, when we're talking about the four walls, you can't do that. You can't fulfill that in the four walls of the church coming on Sunday. Worrying about the air conditioners work, worrying about the, you got where you're going to sit, and then, you know, after service is over, you're ready to hit the road. You're worrying about going to eat, to the beach, and especially in the summertime. You got a whole lot of plans as soon as church is over, but you ain't got no plans to feed the hungry, to give someone a drink who's thirsty. You know, 100 degree, you know, we here in Maryland, 90, 100 degrees outside. Do we even think about buying some water and just handing it out to the home, to people on the street? I know brothers out there selling bottles of water for $2, but are we thinking about, you know, because we all know, you know, there's things we can be doing. Let me just say it like that. But that scripture, if we took that scripture and meditated on that scripture every day. And now, how are you now? Look at your life. Start your morning with Matthew 25, 37 to 40, and then go on your day. See, these are the things that, again, it goes back to us as men. It goes back to leaders. Are we training people up and teaching people what it means to be the church? Because there's more scriptures. I just got that one because it just jumped in my head, and I got it. But there's other scriptures that this is what Jesus is telling us to do. So what are we going to do, brothers? I just say that. Back to you, sir.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad that you jumped into Matthew because that takes us into the other scripture that I wanted to share. Studying this, and I just want to give a little context. You know, it was studying and then realizing how different the perspectives are of the gospel. When you talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are different perspectives. And, you know, all of us have, when we tell a story, it's just like there was an example given, and I'm not going to go all the way into it, but basically the context is, you know, we can all meet somebody, and every one of us will have a different perspective of that meeting or interaction with somebody. Let's just say we ran into a superstar or some celebrity in the airport while we were waiting for a plane or picking or whatever the case may be. Each one of us, if he and you and three other people, there would be five different perspectives. But what I recognize and realize, you know, Matthew shared something, and this is after, you know, after the resurrection, and this is Matthew 28:19-20. But, you know, of all the things that Christ taught in the time that he walked with the disciples and all the stuff that he taught and all the stuff that he shared, all the things that he showed them, this was the very thing that he told them, like was seemed to be the most important thing that he told them that Matthew accounted for in Matthew 28:19-20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of age. That is the Great Commission. That is what we are called to do, to go out and make disciples of all nations. I'm specifically looking at all nations, because when I think all nations, I'm not just thinking about the neighboring countries. I'm thinking about the neighbor that we pass judgment on, the one that doesn't look like us, the neighbor who we know to go to a party or club but has never heard us, the neighbor that doesn't even know we go to church. There's nothing about our relationship with God. The people that we work beside every day that we say nothing about the gospel. We say nothing. Now, we can be in the midst of the gossip. We can be in the midst of the Twitter and the Facebook and the TikTok. and all the social media stuff that goes on, all the negative stuff, and the reality shows, and have conversations about all those kind of things, but never once mention who Christ is. Never once have a discussion that we talk, that we're discipling all nations, that we're talking, that we're giving the news. Discipling simply means that we're going out and sharing the news so a person can make an informed decision about their salvation. You can't force salvation on anybody, and God doesn't force it, because God, Jesus, is a gentleman. He literally stands at your door waiting for you to say, come in. But if we don't even let somebody know he's at their door, what are we doing? Are we living up to, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations? Are we baptizing them? Are we sharing who God is? Are we putting forth everything that God has taught us and put in us? Because somebody spoke over us, and that's what saved us today. That's what has us going to church. That's what has us in a place that we're humble, that we present ourselves in prayer and praise of God. But for the person who doesn't know, what if someone never prayed for us and didn't introduce us? We would be living a lost life right now, even more than we already are, because none of us have it all together. Let's be real. None of us have it all together. Forgive me for the background noise. I apologize. None of us have it all together. But this calling to disciple all nations, it really stuck to me, because I realized so many times I'll go out and disciple, but am I doing it to all nations? Am I doing it to in every opportunity, in every interaction? And I'm being transparent, because in every interaction, we prejudge the situation. We judge, is this person going to be willing to hear from me? Is this person going to accept me? Or do we just speak out because it says, and surely I am with you always. You're not going out there by yourself. You're going out there with Christ. You're going out there with God. You're going out there empowered by the Holy Spirit to the very end of age, for all the time, for everything that you do, for each and every day that your birth is a new creature, you have another opportunity to share the gospel, to go out and disciple all nations. What do you say, sir?
Amen, brother. I mean, okay, well, you know what? We Lord have mercy. Yeah. We again, I think this, well, brothers, let me say this. We have to start to take and to meditate on Scripture. We have to start to read Scripture. We have to start to understand Scripture. We have to start to apply Scripture. You know, and we have to, what are we doing when we're taking the Word of God? What are we praying about? What is our prayer life like? Don't we pray for the Holy God to use us? Do we not pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in our steps? I mean, I hear these prayers, but we're praying for it. Is not God giving us opportunity? And then are we preparing ourselves for these opportunities to do these things? You know, and again, let me say this, because you know what? I'm going to take two steps back, brother, because the problem may be folk don't know what they believe and don't know why they believe it. So they can't tell somebody something they don't know, don't have confidence in, don't have hope in, and don't understand. They just know they go to church. They're in the church, and somebody told them they're saved. Maybe they don't know they're saved. They don't know why they're saved. They don't know what happened. They don't understand. I don't know. Maybe that's why. Because if I don't know something, I can't teach applied physics, because I don't know applied physics. I can't teach cellular regeneration or microbiology, because I don't know it. So maybe we got folk who's in the church who don't know what it means to be a Christian, doesn't understand who Christ is, doesn't understand what Christ has done, don't know who God is, don't understand the working of the Holy Spirit as the Bible teaches it. Maybe they don't know. And that could be our problem. I'm a ship right now. I'm going to give you a scripture so everybody can calm down. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may put to shame. So are we prepared to give a reason for our hope? Because, I mean, I don't want to sound condemning, but this is what Scripture is telling us to do. We ought to be prepared. We ought to grow in Christ, grow in understanding who we are and what it means that we can share. Because someone shared it to us. Someone studied and was able to share the gospel with us. Because remember, I want to say this too, for any brothers out there, remember, you're not saved because your grandmama, your mama, your auntie, your father was this and all that. Your salvation of your soul is not dependent on them. Now, do you see how they live before you? They talk about God. You know they pray. You know they're active in the ministries and churches. You see them. You understand. You know them. But that's not going to save you, and that's not enough for you to tell someone else. So I'm fearful, brother, that a lot of men don't know the gospel and not preparing themselves to understand the gospel at the point where they can share it. You know, that's why I go back to something I learned a long time ago. Brothers who can quote scriptures and talk about scriptures, I'm looking at their lives. Mm. I've learned that. I learned that early in my Christian walk. I'm not impressed by how much words you know and how much you can talk, but I want to see how you applying this thing into your life or what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe that's some of it too, because to be a Christian, to go out and do evangelism, you're transparent. You have
Amen.
To be transparent. You have to be honest. You have to be able to share with people because even our testimony of what God has brought us through. Are we willing to tell someone our testimony that may encourage them to understand what God can do and what God has done? But they need to hear it because you got to remember, when people see Christians coming, a lot of people see us as we was always like this. And unless we open our mouth and able to share our testimony when we understand someone's going through, or we want to keep ourselves on a pedestal and have them always looking up to us as being holy and righteous. So that's a show too. But... as we're talking about right now, brother, we're talking about getting out the four walls. This is Chris Smith talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Elder Mark, and we're just talking about getting out of the four walls and fulfilling the Great Commission and engaging community. What do you say, sir?
Amen, amen. When this speaks of engaging the community, it's definitely something that we can do. And, you know, it's... We've made things so complex that we turn away from because we've made it like it's too much to do. It's almost an inconvenience because it's going to take too much time. But it doesn't take too much time in the grocery store to just say hello and God bless and start a conversation. You know, it's crazy that we can go to a movie and tell everybody we meet about the movie we saw or about the place we went to eat and have no problem telling a stranger or talking to somebody about it. But then when it comes to talking about God, it's so hard to do. I don't know how to do that. It's so hard. And I'm speaking from just being transparent. This was a position I was in before I learned to do different, before I, you know, asked Holy Spirit to guide me in that, to help me in that. I've always been a person that would talk to anybody, but I wasn't always a person that would talk to anybody about God. And I share that because, you know, each and every one of us is at a place where we're growing each and every day. And the Word says we're birthed as new creatures. New creatures doesn't mean that we forgot who we were. It just means we learned something to do different than what we used to do. So we've gotten better at things that we've got a different perspective, a better understanding, a new outlook on the way we conduct our lives, the way we live our lives, because we've been informed with more information. We've received revelation, so now we have the strength to make our decisions with discernment. We're in a place that each and every day we have another opportunity to get it right. Like, you know, I truly believe that one of the main reasons that we go through our situations and continue to go through our situation because God's circling it around for us to have a chance to get it right because there's something in there that we need to learn to grow and be transparent enough to help somebody else with it. You know, I've dealt with a long-term illness, diabetic and some other things, but I was diagnosed with gastroparesis many years back. In 2002, I started having issues. Well, in 2002 I started having issues, and didn't know what was going on. Went to different doctors. Nobody knew what was going on. And I'm just asking God, why am I going through this? Since then, I've met three people outside of my family that I was able to share with about this illness that they knew no doctors to go to. The doctors they were dealing with didn't know anything. And when I found out, I was on my way to Kansas City for a surgery. But luckily, a doctor, grace of God, a doctor who I was dealing with found someone here, that found a local surgeon that did the surgery that I needed. But at that same point, I wonder, it's just an example of why we're going through some things, because it's a time where we're going to have an opportunity for a testimony to help somebody else. Had I have known to share what was going on, my cousin was diagnosed with the same illness. But not even having a relationship with family, didn't know. Something that I was told not to do, she ended up doing, was getting a feeding tube. And she passed away from this illness, from this disease. It makes me think, if I would have had the thought to just share my testimony, outwardly share what was going on, even with family, to let somebody really know everything that was going on, if we had the opportunity to share what's going on, we might just save somebody else's life. We might save the life of the person next to us if we open our mouths. But if we've already said it, that it's too hard, it's an inconvenience, it's going to take too much time, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to say. You don't need to know what to say. You have to be willing to let God, part of the submission that we always talk about, letting God take control and giving you the voice to speak. It was Moses that when he was told to go speak to Pharaoh, he asked God, who am I? Like, I stutter. Who am I? I'm not the one. It's so many people that, so many men in Scripture that were called to do something but made all kind of excuses. But then they came to be the very one that saved thousands of people, that answered the call and lived up to the mission. And those are the very ones that we exemplify, that we see, that we hear stories about, that we read about in the Bible, that give us a context of what we're called to do, the mission on our life, that we're called as men to operate different than what the world says and to move forward and to continually share who we are and what God is doing for us, because somebody that we know, that we love, might die because we kept our mouth shut. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. Amen, brothers. Well, brothers, you know, we're going to do a commercial right here. This is Chris Mintz. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can always call in and join us live at 646-668-2636. If you received this text and link, or if you went to the Facebook page and you're listening in from the Facebook page, we encourage you to share your men's ministry outreach, your events. We can post it there. Let us know. We're starting to gather. We just had two events this last week. They were a blessing. I met some new brothers, met some young brothers. And so you know, there's a time to get back into in-person, face-to-face encouraging. So we're going to be moving forward with that in the summer. And then now, brothers, I just want to, as what we're talking about is getting outside the four worlds, men, it's up to you now. It's up to you to go to your leadership, go to your pastor, encourage them. Because you never know, your pastor could be praying about evangelism. He'd be praying about wanting to go out, but he just needs someone. He's trying to find a way to encourage the people. He needs someone to lead it. He needs someone that you commit to it. We need to be that person. Men, you need to be that person. Well, you and another brother, you know, get together. Start talking about it. Go to the pastor. Because let me say this, too. When we're talking about planting the seed and speaking the gospel, there's methods, there's resources out there. There's tracts. You can hand out tracts. You can hand out Bibles. There's so many things we can do. Even for those of you who say that, you know, you get nervous, you don't know what to say, that's fine. Don't say nothing. Hand someone a tract. Hand someone the evangelistic, the Book of John, the small mini Book of John Bibles that someone can read, share, you know, hand someone a tract, hand the giveaway Bibles, be able to just talk to people. Sometimes you don't have to talk about, just talk to someone. Offer to pray for them. See, there's ways to engage these conversations. you could, like the brother said, you know, he said you're in the store, so you know, people sometimes people speak to you in passing. You could say, say praise the Lord, grace and peace, God loves you, something like that, and you never know, someone will stop you, and then that'll be an opportunity God can use you. You know, and but again, we have to be mindful, and we have to be in that place where we're really willing and able. Let me ask this, brothers. When the last time you prayed for a stranger? When the last time you prayed, you saw something going down and you intervened and said, can I pray for you? You know, we talk about, because you see a lot of things when you're in the community doing, going about your day-to-day. What if you just offered to pray for somebody? Or you offered what they used to call it, acts of kindness. Or hand someone a tract. Just hand them a tract. Hand them a Bible. God loves you. Jesus died for you because he loved you. And give them outreach, the pocket testimony. I just remember what it is I'm thinking about. The pocket testimony, the book of John. And just put it in their hand. These are the little things we can do. We don't have to pray. I've learned a long time ago, and I try and tell folk, you don't have to. You're not going to preach a whole sermon. You just want to plant a seed. And if we just did that, how many lives do we think we could change? Mm-hmm. So, again, getting out the four walls, I think it's a mindset. I think the mindset is it is a mindset for about being in the four walls because we're comfortable. So our bodies are there and our minds are still there. Because, again, if we think we're going to church, we're doing okay and we're doing what God requires, and we are not. So I just leave it right there as that. Because, again, you know, the scriptures you spoke on, that we touched on, this is who we're supposed to be as the church. You know, and then we have to consider our ways. We have to consider what we're doing. And again, I'm sorry, so much comes running through my head, I can't get it all out. But I know we can do different, we can do better, because we have a God who's all-powerful, omnipresent, who's all-wise, and he knows exactly what we're capable of and how he wants his church to live and do. We just have to start to be doers of the word instead of just hearers of the word. What do you say, sir?
Amen. Amen. I'm caught right here on verse 20, and it says, "In teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." We know, and this is I'm speaking to the church people, those that have a relationship. We've been taught, we've received, we have an understanding. We know our call. We know what Christ has commanded. But what we should be doing is teaching people to obey everything that Jesus commanded us to do, to live a life that we're striving to. And the best way to do that is to be an example. To be an example. And like Deke said, sometimes it's not a full conversation. It's not going to be giving a 30-minute sermon in the grocery store line. But simply saying, God bless you. And have a person turn around and say, well, thank you, and a conversation starts. You wouldn't believe the walls that fall down when a person feels as though you might, that you actually care. When a person feels that you're not going to be, so many of us judge because the way the world is now, so many of us are expecting the person to have an attitude, the person to be the one that's going to curse you out as soon as you say something, the one that's going to look you up and down. But sometimes that's the defenses that we put up because of what we've been through. But a simple few words can tear those very things down and open the door for you to speak to someone or for someone to speak to you. Because sometimes the person that you're saying God bless to, person that was waiting for an opportunity to share something, but they just didn't know how and thought that everyone around them was unapproachable. Be that approachable one. Be the very one that shares the love of God. The love of God has no walls. It has no boundaries. It's meant for every single person out there, no matter who they are, where they are, how they've acted, or what they're in the midst of. The love of God is meant for every single person. It's simple to go out and share it. It's just simple to say have a blessed day. It's simple to say praise God. It's simple to say amen and thank you. It's simple to just have manners that open up. But sometimes we're caught up in ourselves that we walk around with the look as though our arms are folded and our faces scrunched up. How are we exemplifying who God is if we look like we're angry with the world? We're supposed to look like the love of God. I just implore you, man. I implore you, all those listening, those that are on, those that will go back and hear this archive, I just pray that you truly hear and just receive. We don't have it all together, but we're trying to walk in a life transparent and be an example that says God is calling us to do something different than what we've been doing. Let's be different, man. Let's be the ones that can change this world. Because if we unify and stand strong as the body of Christ, not amputating somebody because they don't seem to fit what you think is supposed, what you think they're supposed to look like or how they're supposed to act, but truly just reach out to share the love of God and stand unified. It's a cliche statement, but we are our brother's keeper. The word does say iron sharpens iron, but if we don't pull ourselves out of the sleeve, how can iron sharpen iron? How can we even meet to sharpen up one another when we're dulled out if we never step outside? Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. Well, brothers, you know, again, I'm Deacon Thomas Fathers, Elder Mark. And hopefully something was said that would encourage you, encourage us, encourage the body of Christ, that we have to be, again, salt and light. We have to go. We have to evangelize. We have to get. We have to tell people about the hope that we believe. You know, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of messages and pastors and preaching out there about the end times because the way the culture is going, the way the world's going, and the way, you know, things that are going on and all that. But if we truly believe that Christ's return is on the way, is coming soon, why are we not telling folk about the gospel? Do we hate people that much that we know Christ is going to come and they're going to be left behind? So we hate them that much that we're not willing to share the gospel, that we're not willing to go out to give people opportunity to let them know that God loves them, that Christ died for them, and that he is coming back. And how can we spare them from the wrath of God? You know, let me say this. It has to start with the church folk. We have to, you know, let me say it like I want to say it the right way. Because understand, we know that God is love. And we know that God loves us. Well, he loves his children that are his own. But he also, there's also a God of wrath that's coming. I was looking at a thing the other day. It talks about Jesus. He came as a lamb, but when he comes back, you're not going to want to see him when he comes back. But when he comes back to this earth, he's coming back as a lion. So, and that's what the scripture teaches. So if we know that, why would we not want to share the gospel that a soul might be saved, that someone can come to the knowledge of him, that someone can confess, someone can repent, and be made righteous before God and be justified before him? And then start to live a life that will change the lives around them. Because, again, that's what the gospel does. We are planting seeds, and we never know where those seeds are going to go. If we reach a man will reach his family. If we reach someone on the street and God uses them, transforms them, now they have their influence in their circle of influence where they live. Because how many of us have been examples? Because we may not hang with those we used to hang with, but they see the difference in us, and they're only going to hear the gospel from us. That's one of the things I always say. There's a soul out there that's going to only hear the truth of God from you because they know you. They understand and trust you. They're not going to hear it from your pastor. They're not going to hear it from the evangelist. They're not going to hear it from the TV evangelist. It's you opening your mouth and telling them what you believe, why you believe it, and what they must do to be saved. What is the truth of God? What does the Bible say about who Jesus is? That's where the false teachers get a lot of people. They change with who Jesus is. You know, you got folk out here talking about, well, Jesus never talked about homosexuality. Jesus never talked about this. Jesus never said nothing about this. Let me get, all right, I'm going to give everybody a quick response for anybody who tells you that. Remember who Jesus is. Jesus is God. So all of the, and the Holy Spirit is God. So if the Holy Spirit inspired Paul and Peter to write about certain things that Jesus may not have wrote about, because Paul and Peter talked about homosexuality, and homosexuality was condemned in the Old Testament. But because Jesus didn't say it in the Gospels, people want to go, but Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. But then you're telling me Jesus is not God, and then that's a whole Trinity teaching, but I'm not going to go that deep right now. Amen? Woo! All right, everybody take a breath. But I'm saying, don't let people repeat the lie. And then sometimes it's not a lie, because they've heard it from somebody, and no one took time to correct them and share the hope that you have in you. Because I've learned this. Let me say this, brothers, as we get ready to close. I've learned a lot of people you talk to, they repeat stuff they heard. They don't know it for themselves. They heard it from somebody else because they don't, you know, because that's their reason for not getting saved or not changing or not repenting or not being able to want to correct somebody, because they repeat what somebody else told them, who that person was living a raunchy life. So they said, well, Jesus never talked about that. Jesus never said anything about marijuana. Jesus never said nothing about this. Jesus said nothing about this. But, you know, let's look at the whole Bible. There's 66 books in there. I bet I could find some sin in there. And if Jesus is God's son, Jesus did talk about it. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, brothers, again, this is Dumb Deacon Farty. This is Ish Christian Men's Talk. I appreciate you taking time to listen. I encourage you to share it. Again, we're live on Saturday mornings. You can come in and join. We can discuss any topic you want, or you have something you want to share, encourage. And again, if your church is having a men's group, men's fellowship, let us know. We'll post it on our Facebook page. You can go to our Facebook page. If you're looking for a fellowship or you're looking for a men's Bible study, there's a lot of them starting up in person. Thank God, a lot of the Zoom meetings are dropping away and disappearing. Good God answers prayer. But anyway, there's a lot of in-person things going on for men's groups. A lot of ministries are opening up. And let me say this, brothers. Be encouraged, because, you know, I'm even seeing some, I'm not going to call no names, but I do see a lot of churches, they're going back to these spring convocations. So what does that tell you? So, we need to be in person, face-to-face, and meeting and fellowshipping one to another, and encourage the brothers to check on our brothers and pray for one another. Brother, I'm going to come to you and let you close out. If you have the final word, and you close out in prayer. Again, I appreciate you, bro. And when you're ready, we're ready to do another segment, let me know. We're just going to keep it rolling. We're in the summertime now. Stuff is a little more spare time, relaxing, but we're going to be doing some more programs. We're going to touch on some more things. And, brothers, if you receive this in a text, text me any topic that you want us to bring up, and you can be part of it, or we can bring the topic up and invite some other brothers to join us, and we can reason together. We can talk about these things to encourage one another to grow in Christ. So, because we all know, we all want to stand before him and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So this is the purpose of our show here, is to glorify him and to encourage you. Amen. Elder Mark, you got it.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. As always, I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on. As always, it's a pleasure and honor to serve with you, to just truly walk and be a representation of what men are called to be. So thank you once again for the opportunity. Just like to share, of course, my name is Elder Mark. I'm with New Vision for Life Church here in Baltimore, Maryland. Coming up on July the 9th, we are going to be having a prayer walk. This will be the second prayer walk for this year. We did one about a month and a half ago, and the mission is to bring the people, the community, and the police back together, to take our neighborhoods back, to just show a presence of God and to show that we are out here doing something outside the four walls. So we'll be in the Randallstown area. I believe that's the prospective area. We're still waiting for an exact location for the police department to let us know where we're going. But we will be sharing more information. Just want to give a heads up. Once again, that's going to be July the 9th. The walk will start about 10:45 or 11 o'clock and usually lasts about 30 to 45 minutes for the distance that we walk. And we just walk the neighborhood and just pray out loud, sing praise songs. We have several ministries joining. So If you're able to join, as new as more information comes forth, I pray that you're able to come out and fellowship with us. And as always, men, I just implore you, the call upon our lives is something strong. There is a call. We are a part of the body, and we do have a responsibility. It may be a lack of teaching. It may be that we're a little nervous about doing things. But just take the step of faith. Allow God to use you. Even in your lack of understanding, God will speak through you just if you show yourself submissive and willing to do what he called. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power. It's already in you. It's just right now it's capped up and bottled. It hasn't been released because it hasn't been tapped into. But allow God to use you. Tap into that inner strength and share all that he has. Father God, we honor you and we bless you, Lord God. We thank you for another opportunity to join before you, Lord God, to represent you, to represent you, Lord God, to just talk, discuss, and to learn more of you and thus of ourselves and to call upon our lives. We thank you that as we stand as men, Lord God, you continue to empower us, to strengthen us. You continue to revive us, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, for that revival spirit falling upon us right now, Lord God. We thank you for breathing life on these dry bones, Lord God, that we would arise, Lord God, to stand and give you the hallelujah praise that you truly deserve with every step of our life, Lord God, that everything that we do represents you and is of you, O God. For we continually thank you, Lord God, for your abundant blessings that you bestow, Lord God, that you continue to bestow even though we stand undeserving. I thank you, Lord God, for all that you are, for your grace, your mercy, your peace, and your favor, and most of all, Lord God, your forgiveness. We praise you, we honor and bless you, and thank you for all those that are able to join, all those that weren't able to join, and the ones that will come back to listen and hear this word, hear this discussion, that we'd all grow and grow into a place that you called us to be. We thank you, we honor you and bless you, and praise the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.